Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you hear this indie rock ballad, only means one thing. Barold Zwerluga.
Barold.
Washington Post sports columnist joining us. Hello, Barry. What up, man?
What up, B?
How are you guys?
Man, we are fantabulous.
You are, listen, you're clearly very smart. You went to Duke. All right, we'll start there. I would say you're a wordsmith. You've written books. You've written columns. Your column after the Nats won the World Series is one of my favorite I've ever read. How would you describe the home run that Shohei Ohtani hit last night?
Oh, man. I mean,
just
there's a reason.
Rocket.
I mean, people are asking me, you know, I'm going to cover the World Series. Who do you want? And it is just clear to me that sign me up for Dodgers and Yankees, because this sport needs stars to be in the spotlight. That dude against Judge and Soto and Cole, I mean, that's appointment TV, where baseball is not often appointment TV nationally. Sign me up, man. That'd be a show.
Yeah, dude.
He mashes.
He mashes. Quickly, I obviously want to talk football, but I've been really intrigued by these playoffs so far. You think we're getting Yanks-Dodgers?
I mean, the Yankees look overwhelming for the Guardians at the moment, and it's hard to take anything from an individual baseball game because so much depends on, you know, who gets the ball the next day. But it's hard for me to see. Now Cleveland has to win 4 out of 5 to beat the Yankees. I just don't see how that's possible. And I thought last night was huge for the Dodgers because they felt that series felt like it had tilted toward the Mets significantly with that game 2 win, in which the Dodgers, you know, bullpen game did not work out at all. So I thought that was huge for the Dodgers. And yes, I think the Dodgers are the better team. We know one thing about the baseball playoffs is that the better team over 162 is not necessarily the better team over 7. But I do think it swung back to the Dodgers' favor last night. And you know, not in small part because of the guy who hit that moonshot. He is an issue to deal with every single time he's up.
He's been
he really is.
I told JP earlier, man, every time he hits some balls like that, I start thinking that the guy was made in a lab some damn well.
That's what it seems like, bro.
He's unbelievable, man.
But think about this, too. Like, he had the season that he had that everybody's talking about, the first 50-50 season in history, and next year he's going to pitch, too. Like, you talk about
that's
made
crazy.
In a lab. Like, it's just that's not, doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Let me ask you a question, though. You see how good he is hitting the ball, and you know if he pitches, he had Tommy John, he'd probably get hurt again. Would you keep pitching him as much as they were, or would you limit that and let him become more of a hitter?
So the Dodgers are precise in everything they do. They are analytics forward, but they also understand the human element, and I don't know what their plan is, but I can guarantee you their plan is not, let's just roll them out there every fifth day. Like, they will take care in, because, you know, if he has Tommy John again, you're not just losing a pitcher, you're losing your best hitter. It's a really, I mean, there's a reason why he's making $600 million, because he's two players, not one.
Right.
And so, he might be worth $600 million just as a hitter, Brian, like to your point. I think you're right. They will do something that's very careful that allows him not only to pitch through the season, but, you know, they get to the postseason every year, to pitch in the postseason when they need their starters are pretty fragile at the moment. They need another arm down there, and they've got one already on the roster. He's just not pitching.
All right, let's switch it over to football. Talking with our friend Barry Zwerluga here on the BetQL guest line. You can read Barry's work in the Washington Post. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Barry Zwerluga, Zwerluga. Jaden Daniels, we're 6 games into this thing. How impressed are you?
I mean, I don't think I could be more impressed. I think everybody has, you know, when you go into the season, even if you're watching in training camp and saying, oh, he's impressive and the ball's not on the ground much and his accuracy's good, his athleticism's good, there's always that caveat of, well, he's a rookie quarterback. There's going to be ups and downs. And while I still think that is probably true, like, name the ups and downs. Like, he wasn't great in the Tampa game. He ran too much. He didn't keep his eyes downfield. Fine. First NFL football game. Since then, he hasn't improved every week, but the lack of egregious throws. I mean, if you think about his quote unquote mistakes, the one that stands out is the interception in the, you know, inside the five against the Browns. But go through all his other throws. Like, what he has two picks all year. The other one wasn't even, you know, he airmailed it a little bit. I am just kind of blown away, because in six games, no one would say, well, he's played six NFL games, this is the finished product. Like, he's been really, really good, and he's probably going to get better. And every time I say that, I'm just kind of like, what world are we living in? Because this is not the experience around this franchise.
But, man, like, you've been around the different sports, and there are people that come in and they actually put the work into it, and you see them get stuff like that from it. You know, and I think the thing about him, he's exhausted everything he can do to become the player that he's been.
I totally agree, Brian, and that's another thing we didn't know going into it, is, like, this guy is infectious because he's not treating himself like a star. He knows to be a star, the work has to go in, and you don't hear anybody say anything other than that. I mean, I'm not going to name names here, but there have been people at his position in this town who were stars and didn't have that air about them, that did.
Want me to name them for you?
Different. Yeah, exactly. But you know what I mean? It's like, we've seen it.
Yes.
We've seen it. And to see the opposite of it is kind of astonishing. Like, the ability jumps off the page. Like, I can't get over the 66-yarder to McLaurin because it was a broken play. He's rolling out. He's about on a dead run, and he drops it in the only place he could put it. Like, that play will last with me. But the work that goes in to be able to make that play is as important or more important than the athletic ability. And so it's hard for me to believe, and everything is colored by, like, if he stays healthy, but it's hard for me to believe that if he stays healthy, you're not looking at the complete package for a decade or more.
Dude, you don't want to get ahead of anything, especially with a young quarterback kind of booming in the NFL. But I agree with you. It gets harder and harder to see the other avenues outside of, like, significant success. And I think that gets cemented every time he talks. Yesterday, so Jaden does his weekly media availabilities on Wednesday, right? And for months now, since we started talking to this young man on a regular basis, we just bombard him with football questions. And so yesterday I was kind of like, what else do you do? How do you unwind? And he said he likes to watch basketball, and, you know, when he puts the work in, he knows when he goes home he can relax a little, and clearly he puts the work in. But, Barry, I then asked him how used to the spotlight he is, because he is in the spotlight, dude. Anywhere you look, they're talking about Jaden Daniels. And he's like, yeah, you know, it started to turn up last year at LSU, but the NFL's that much more intense, and, you know, I still kind of feel a little awkward when people are talking about me, but I've gotten used to it. His maturity, Barry, at every turn, damn near blows me away. And I'm curious if you've had a similar reaction just when you talk to him and hear him.
Yeah, I have. And I think, you know, if I was just coming in off the street and listening to most of his answers, I think, you know, they're pretty bland mostly. And that is not a criticism. It's actually kind of a compliment. Like, he'll do the media stuff because he's the quarterback and he has to, But I don't think it's an important part of his day. Like he needs to get through that so that he can get to the important stuff. And I think that's really to be admired. And then I'd say, guys, and I everything here is the risk of overreaction, but I don't consider myself like a hot take person. If you look around the division, I mean, this is just staggering for me to think and to say, but if you go through the division, not only do I think Washington is now the favorite to win it this year, but if you look organizationally, and that's coach, quarterback, front office, you could argue that Washington and ownership, Washington is now, you know, the best advantaged team franchise in the NFC East. Now, Philly has had great ownership and great success for a long time, and they've won a Super Bowl in the not-too-distant past. But their coach is bringing his kids to post-game press conferences as a human shield and jawing with fans, and you wonder about the relationship with the quarterback there. Like, that seems tenuous. Jerry Jones is going on the radio in Dallas threatening hosts that he's going to get him fired. And Brian Daboll clearly doesn't want his quarterback, and he and his GM are on shaky ice up there. Like, Adam Peters is he's a very secure, strong GM, it would seem to me. They have their quarterback. The owner is new and putting resources into it. And Dan Quinn seems to have the players really behind him. Like, I don't think it's a stretch to say that this franchise that has been so unstable and such an S show for so long is now the best positioned franchise in the NFC East, which is just astonishing for me to think.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Does the quickness of all of that shock you?
Yes.
I know it happens over time, but it doesn't happen that damn quick.
Well, I mean, I think I wrote in the week one, you know, the Tampa game, I was like, you can't turn around an ocean liner in a phone booth, right? Well, they damn near almost have turned around an ocean liner in a phone booth. Like, I can't – the trajectory with which the quarterback has gone up and then – You assess Adam Peters' offseason with some evidence of what it was. And, do they need help at cornerback? Do they need an edge rusher? Do they need another weapon on offense? Sure. But this wasn't going to be a one-year complete roster rebuild. But name the bad move that he made. Name the bad draft pick. Like, they may have solved their left tackle issue with a third-round pick. You know, I've been gushing about this in a way that is almost irresponsible, but I can't walk it back because you see what they've done and how it feels, and it's just such a stark contrast. And as you've said, Brian, just so fast that I'm like, I don't even know where my headspace is. It's just odd.
You know, I've heard people say, you know what, we all in this together and we all are working for one common goal. But it literally seems to be happening with this team. I heard someone in their security department make that comment to me. I think it was after the Cardinals game, and it was like, you know, when you have everybody working for the same – no, it was the Cincinnati Bengals game. When everybody's working for the same goal and everybody really cares for each other as if it's a family, this stuff comes together quickly. And I'd be damned if it's not happening exactly like she stated.
And, I mean, I think we can't ignore the fact that, you know, because they won the Bengals game and because they started 4-1, like, it's a lot easier to get people to believe and to buy in and to pull for each other when things are going right. So there's a chicken and egg thing there, for sure. But I was not an advocate of hiring Dan Quinn. I thought they should have gone for an offensive coach because you wanted the offensive head coach to be in lockstep with your quarterback who, you know, you want those two to come in at the same time and be on the same page. But you know, I was wrong on Quinn as a person and a motivator for sure. Like, he's says the right things, and even if it's a little slogany and jargony and catchphrasey, he's definitely got buy-in, and he knows how important buy-in is. From, you know, that's, it's hard in a sport where there are 53 on the roster and you're going to use 70 players over the course of the year to get everybody in lockstep. And he really seems to have gotten it that way in the early going.
Man, he seems to have more people than that, because he got a lot of former players that are buying into his stuff too.
Well, that matters around here too, Brian. Yeah,
it makes a world of difference. And I, you know, because
he's also embraced former players in a way other guys haven't.
The more I talk to the guy, I'm like, you know what? Because he has a little something where he knows how to deal with each person in an individual way. He doesn't feel like, oh, one way works for everybody.
Are you ever going to tell the story about what Izzo's doing with the special teams?
One day.
Okay. All right. but Barry, kind of, because we live in a microwave society that's far too often dictated, at least for the fan base, by social media, the trade deadline is the top topic, right? Adam Peters honestly really hasn't missed. Like, if you want to say the McManus thing, but McManus is now on a roster. Like, clearly something occurred there, whatever. But Adam Peters really hasn't missed. If you're Adam Peters over these next couple of weeks, what are you thinking trade deadline-wise?
I'm thinking long-term. I'm not letting the results from 6 weeks, very, very positive results, take my eye off the fact that this really is.
Thank you, Barry.
Well, it is a long-term. As much as it's turned around in a phone booth, like I said, it is a long-term fix. And those picks that he's done a good job gathering, and a third for Jahan Dotson when two other, you know, A1 receivers went for third-round picks, seems like a pretty good return at this point. I think those picks are valuable, and I think they're valuable for getting the 53-man roster to the shape you needed to get it to, not just to make it into, because this year is really about, like, are you going to make the playoffs? Are you going to win a division? That would be very, very positive, obviously. But I don't think anybody, even with how positive everything has been and how well it's gone, is thinking this is a Super Bowl contender, right? That's what you're trying to build. And I don't think he should say, oh, holy cow, we're 4-2 and up by a game in the division. Let's trade a third rounder for a stopgap thing. And I also would be cautious about if the locker room continuity and everybody marching in the same direction is one of your greatest strengths, which I think it is. You bring in a big personality from elsewhere, Hassan Reddick or something else, you're risking a very real chemistry thing you have going for yourself. So I would just let the trade deadline pass and stick with what you've got going, and think that maybe that's enough to win the division, because I think it probably is.
Yeah, Barry, real quick, you've been around this town a long time, and you've seen Darryl Green perform on the field, off the field, and still here being a big part of this community. Your thoughts on him and getting his jersey retired this weekend?
I mean, my thoughts, Brian, are like, wait, his jersey isn't retired already?
Like, yeah.
How I would 28? Yeah, man, like, that guy defined the position before it was a glamorous position. Like, he was the fastest player in the NFL. Like, he's pre-Deion, man. Like, he allowed Deion to be Deion. Like, he's such an iconic, forget, like, this town, which is obvious. Like, you know, he's getting the key to the city on Saturday, and that seems like a cool gesture. But in the history of the NFL, like, if you think of cornerback, like, you think of Darryl Green in, if it's not first, it's second or third. Like, that's the guy, right, who defined the position for so long. So put the 28 up there, man. It should have been there a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, I mean, Darryl Green made the all 100, you know, the he's made every team,
he made every
there
team
is, he's
that,
on it.
As good as he was on the field, he was that off the field. And I think that right there is something that, you know, many people aspire to do,
and
but not everybody can.
Why don't the three of us have a real conversation for a second? for organizationally, they were hesitant to retire any numbers. And then over the last, whatever, 3, 4, or 5 years, that has changed a bit. Mm-hmm. But I don't. Daryl never allowed Dan to push him around. However Dan liked to interact with people, Daryl wasn't doing it. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a reason he's going in now, that Dan is gone.
Yeah.
And I think that's great on a million different levels.
I mean, players recognize players, I think, right? So I think that makes a lot of sense, JP.
Yeah. Barry, before college hoops starts, I do want to have a Cooper Flagg discussion. We don't have time to do it today, but I'll probably see you Sunday, man. Thanks for making time for us.
All right, Barry, appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Man. Barry Svrluga, give him a follow on Twitter, Instagram, at Barry Svrluga.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.